Oh, okay, this is working. So, the first time, I actually, after several months of Hishtadlus, remembered, A, that there was a recorder that was available, B, to bring it, and C, not only to take it home with me, but actually to bring it here and turn it on. So, I know Resman already told me that she wanted to get a recording, so I'm very happy. She set up for Shabbos, she might not make it because Rabbi Forrest is giving a shiur this morning on Hilchos Pesach. So, kind of happy. We're on the record. For the sake of the recording, just to let whoever ever listens to this know, this is the final in our series on Shmona Esrei. We're going to be talking this week about the Bracha of Sim Shalom. I apologize for any little background noise that's going on at the beginning of this year. And it's really great to have gotten all the way to the end. This is also going to be the last year before Pesach, because everyone read the email. After Pesach, we'll convene with, it looks like, probably Birchas HaMazon, grace after meals, and then we'll see where that goes from there. So, you come to Sim Shalom, and really the first question that you got to ask is that this would seem to be a little bit out of order. The classic structure of Shmona Esrei, as laid out by the Rambam and others, is that Shmona Esrei has a structure. There's the beginning, the Shevach, that's the praise section. Then you have the Bakasha section, the part where we ask for things. And then we came to an end. We had Ritzeh, talk about the temple service, and Modim, you give thanks.
Right.
So that was the end. Right. So really, that would be, that makes sense, that should be the end. But we always end with Sim Shalom, and Sim Shalom, if anything, is a request. Right? It's a request for peace. It's a bracha that seems to belong really in the middle of the Shmona Esrei with all the other brachos, right? Where we ask for all sorts of things. We already asked for, you know, in gathering of the exiles, return of justice, you know, the rewarding of the righteous, all these things that would seem to go along with peace. And somehow peace got there and got shoved to the end. Right? Got left for the end. It's almost like we forgot it. So that's the first question, and the truth is that this is more of a theme than we realize, because really, the Torah and the Chazal, they often, almost, I'd say, always end with peace. For example, you look at the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in all of Shas, right, all the Sidrei Mishnah, the last Seder in Mishnah is Taharos, there's law of Tumma Tahara, not often learned, but if you're making a Sima Shas and Mishnah, so you'll get to this Mishnah. And the last Mishnah in Taharos is a Masechta called Uktzin, which I have to admit that I have never really gotten to, and not quite familiar with exactly what Uktzin are, but they're something with the law of Tumma Tahara. Then at the end of the Mishnah, there's one last Mishnah, all of Mishnah. And here's the Mishnah. Arv Yeshua ben Levi, Asra Kosh Baruch Hulanchel, called Tzadik, Betzadik, Shalosh Meos, Vesra, Basar Lamo, Shinemar, Vlahanchel, Vayeshua, Tosama, Vlay. So the first part of the Mishnah tells us that schar is going to be lost to level. Okay, that sounds like a nice ending, you know. If you learn all the Mishnayos, you should just know there's a schar at the end of this, there's a schar at the end. A little bit of an interesting sort of schar, 310 worlds, whatever that means. Then, Amar Shimon ben Chalafta, Lo Matza Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kli Mafzik Baruch Hu, Yisrael Ela Shalom, Shenemar, Hashem Ozi, Amo Yitain, Amar Hashem Yisrael Hasan V'Shalom. So, again, the last Mishnah ends with a message about peace. Right? The only kli bracha is peace. Really the question we want to ask ourselves is, what is the role of peace? Why is peace the ending? What is that? Why is it? What is it doing here? At the end of Shas, at the end of the tefillah, we're getting back to it, and we want to come and try to understand that a little bit more. Now, another interesting thing which you find about this bracha is that one of the only brachos in all of Shmona Esrei, we have two different nuschaos, right? Two different versions. We always say the bracha, but sometimes we say the short version, and sometimes we say the long version. Right? That's the, if you turn to really the first introductory page, we have the text of the back of page one, you have the text of the bracha. Right? So we have here the two texts. We have Sim Shalom, and then you have Shalom Rav. In a general sense, we'll have to ask ourselves why, and we'll try to get back to answer that question a little bit more as we go on. But you look at the two brachos, so we have the long version, which is what we say at Shachris and some other times, but mostly at Shachris. And then you have the short version, Shalom Rav, which is said at Mincha and Maariv. Question, second question really that we want to ask is why? Why would we do that? Why would we have two different sets of a bracha?
Especially since the Gemara only talks about Sim Shalom.
Right, the Gemara only talks about, it's true, the Gemara itself, as we'll see, mainly discusses Sim Shalom as the main nusach of the bracha. So what are these two nuschos? Where are they coming from? Now, to analyze these questions, first though, we have to really look at the bracha itself and try to figure out just little simple understanding of the bracha, line by line. Now, if you have two versions of a bracha, you have two versions of something, like the long version, the short version. So there's a question of how do you go about looking at it? How do you go about getting to the heart? And sometimes, if they're supposed to be at least supposedly the same thing, roughly, so then it's easier to look sometimes at the short version, right? See what's in the short version, see what the structure is, and then look maybe at the longer version and see what got added. Right, what's in the long version that's not in the short version? And is it really the same or not? So if you start with the short version over here, so we'll start with Shalom Rav. It's pretty to the point. Shalom Rav, Ayisrael, Amcha Tasim Liolam. Grant abundant peace to your people forever. Kiatou Melech Adon L'chol HaShalom. For you are the king who is the master of all peace. V'tov, or V'tov Yiyah V'inech L'varchim L'vareich HaSavcha Yisrael It will be good in your eyes to bless your people at all times and every hour with your peace. Blessed are you who blesses this nation of Israel with peace.
Now, doesn't that bracha also change, like Rosh Hashanah?
So the end also changes at Rosh Hashanah. That's true. At Rosh Hashanah, we talk about Oseh. During the Aseret Mechuva, there are those who have the custom to change it to Baruch Atah Hashem Oseh HaShalom.
Yeah, and I never know because it says both in the...
Right, so there's two traditions there. Whenever you have like the a periodical change in the language of the bracha, it doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere to say you should change it to Oseh HaShalom. That was a suggested change that people made later, and then others suggested that you shouldn't actually change a bracha, or let's change something else. And so they change in Kaddish or at the end of Shemona Esrei, you just take three steps back to say Oseh HaShalom instead. But one word, theme of the bracha. So the theme of the bracha is definitely. Definitely shalom. Definitely peace. That is what this bracha, at least the short version, is about.
Yeah, well, I see the difference in the long version. It's right. Light, and it's talking. I mean, I'm guessing that perhaps it's since it's talking about light that's something that's a day.
Right. There's something else going. Right. So there definitely is something else. There's light. If you look, there's a lot of other things, and we'll get back to this. The first bracha is a lot less compact. Right. It's a lot longer, and it actually mentions a lot of other things aside from shalom. And if it weren't for the fact that the second bracha. Right, the short version was so directly focused on Shalom, I would almost wonder if Shalom was in fact the theme at all. Or maybe there's a broader theme. Right, but so the short version is all about Shalom. So maybe let's take for a second and assume that in fact is the main theme. If you look at the bracha, there's three components. Right, it seems to be a little bit, even for a short bracha, it's a little bit longer than what a bakasha could be, because since we're only asking for one thing, right? So the bracha could have been Shalom Avayisrael Amcha Tassim Yisrael Amcha Tassim Liolam Baruch Atah Hashem Avarecha Tamo Yisrael Vashalom. Right? Blessed is Hashem who, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us peace. Blessed are you who makes the peace. That would have been a nice bracha. That'd be fine, right? That was long enough. Now, really, what I'm alluding to is a interesting coincidence. If you look at the Siddur as a whole, right? So if you go back to the Siddur as a whole, right? The whole Shemona Esrei up until this point. So we noted, when we were doing some of the earlier brachos, that it's not unusual for bracha to offer justification, right? Hashem, please do this for the following reason. Right? But if you pay attention to the Shemona Esrei, you find that at the beginning we're doing that a lot more. And then at the end, until really all the way at the end, right, we sort of stop doing that. So for example, at the beginning, we say, Atachonein, so that's already, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu credit, then we say, Hashivenu, not as much, but like, Slach Lanu, Kimo Chavos Aleich Atah, so there's a reason,
We say, Rafa'enu ki kel melech ofenem v'rachman atas. So there's a reason. It's always the because. Right? Do this because this is what you do. Right? Because you're the sort of God who would do these things, who's a kind God, who's a forgiving God, who's a kigoel chazakata, because you're a strong redeemer, so show us your strength in redeeming. Right? And we always say, do this because you're the sort of person who does this, so please go ahead and demonstrate that you're the sort of person who does it. Or sort of God who does it. This time, now, we do that also. Right? But we already have, but what's interesting is this is like, we've taken a long break from doing that. When you get to the second half of Shemona Esrei, at a certain point, really starting with Baruch Aleinu, well, depending on your Nusach Sfard or not, maybe not either, Baruch Aleinu is either the first one you do or the last one you, the first one you don't or the last one you do. But, you know, we start moving away from saying ki. We don't say because this is what you do. No, we just ask for it. If you recall, we mentioned this several months earlier, a couple months earlier already now, so I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't, you know, count anyone to recall. I almost forgot myself. But Rabbi David Aaron at that point had suggested that one of the reasons that that was is because Shemona Esrei is sort of an act of moving closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. With every bracha that we ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for and sort of generate within ourselves a feeling that, yes, he will give that. Right? Yes, he heard us about that one. Okay, let's ask for something a little bit more bold. So with each one of those brachos, moving closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, the brachos themselves become, move away from, you know, individual personal things toward, and it's more general, you know, more HaKadosh Baruch Hu oriented sort of things, so that at the end, we're asking for, you know, rebuild Jerusalem, bring the Messiah, reward the tzaddikim. And as we get closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our requests, we don't feel the need anymore to justify it. We don't feel the need anymore to like get on his bed and say, I got it, you're all so great and mighty, but please, you know, hear my requests. Because in a certain sense, we're actually moving closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And the closer you are to someone, the less, and the more you're asking for something that really dovetails with their needs, the less you feel the need to justify, please do it. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The first thing to note is that here we sort of take a step back. And we do go back and we do say, Ki atahu melech adon lechol ha-shalom, because you are the king. Well, it's even more interesting, right? What's even more interesting is that we have sort of a difference in structure over here than we would do than we had in the past. Because let's read this. Ki atahu melech adon lechol ha-shalom, v'tov yinev v'rechinu reikas amchol Yisrael v'chol Yisrael v'chol Shah.
It's a repetition of the previous.
Right, it's like, because you're the God, so the simple way to read this, the first glance you think, like Esther is saying, I think, is that, you know, says because you're the sort of God who gives peace, and you like to do peace. So that's, it's the same. Like, why do we have to make this so long and drawn out? Just say, okay, stop there. Right? Because you're the master of peace, and peace is the sort of thing you do, so bring us peace. So even if you want to tell me why we're justifying it, why haven't we gone back to this justifying, but why do we have to justify it twice? What's the repetition?
Emphasis.
Right. Emphasis. Okay. Emphasis is always good, but we didn't really emphasize it before.
I don't think so.
Now, to answer, let's answer the first question. First question, second, the second question first, I think. So I wanted to look at, or to mention, something that a source from Sefer Acharit Shalom, which ironically means the end, ending in peace, right? A peaceful end, right? Peaceful end. And it was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Eliyahu Landau of Vilna, who was a Rav in Vilna in the 1800s. I could not find much more information about him than that. But he was a Rav in Vilna in the 1800s. His family claimed that to be descendants of the Vilna Gaon, who had been passed away about 100 or 150 years earlier. And wrote a Peirush on the Siddur. Can be found that big, fat Otzar HaTfilah. Whenever you see these like photocopies, they've all come from one set called the Otzar HaTfilos. It's a real interesting collection of different commentaries written in the 1800s on the Siddur.
Unfortunately, what I'm about to quote for you, that was the photocopy that kind of got messed up and cut off. So we're going to get back to the actual text of what he has to say in a little bit. But just to tell you this part outside, he observes, he observes that when you want to ask someone for something, right, and you want them to give it to you, really you're hoping for two things. What do you need if someone's going to give something to you? You need two things. Let's see, what do you think? You need them to be able to give it. That's one. But what else do you need?
Them to want to give
it. Acceptance.
Them to want to give it. You have to have them have a reason to give it. Something they teach you in speaking class. But I remember first read this when I was in Israel as a kid, for lack of a better word. So they had got a hold of these like Dale Carnegie books. So Dale Carnegie has like the secret to successful speaking in about 15 different versions. And one of the big Dale Carnegie lessons is that whenever you're speaking to someone, especially if you're going to ask them for something, the first thing you need to do is to explain to them why they want to do something. Because you can never get anyone to do something for you unless they're going to want to do it. Right? So we have to make someone want something. They have to have the ability to do it. And then, if those two factors are there, then we can ask them to do it, and they'll do it. Now, sometimes people don't realize they can, even the fact that they can give it. So sometimes part of, you know, fundraising or asking or also it's just awakening people to the fact, you can do this. But then you also have to make them want to do it. And then, can ask them. Says something very interesting. He says, you know what, that's exactly what we're doing here. First we say, you're the king and master of peace. You can give peace. And then we say, you want to give peace. You like peace. You like when your nation Israel has peace. So we have the two ingredients. You can, and you want. Think about that for a second. And then keep that fact in the back of your mind. Let's take a step back. Again, structure of Shmoneh Esrei. So we said we get closer and closer and closer with every bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then last time we mentioned that when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, we actually take a step backwards. We get to Modim. Right? In Modim, we bow down. And in bowing down, we were sort of saying, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're so close, but we also acknowledge that you're on top, and we're not on top. Right? You're the king, you're the giver, and we're the recipients. And that's taking a step back. Taking a step back, recognizing that we are the recipients of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's blessing. And so, after we got that really peak of climax of being so, so close, we got like a dose of, burst the bubble a little bit. You know, a little bit of ice in our hot coffee, cool off a little bit. And so it makes sense that on the one hand we're going back to justifying, right? We're going back to realizing, let's not take it for granted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to give us what he gives us. But at the same time, there's another thing which we get after Moshe. Because there's something which we just say explicitly here that we don't say any other time. Every other time we justify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all we say is, this is your opportunity to show up. We recognize your greatness. Okay, so that's half the picture, right? Then, so that you can do it is explicit, and then it's also like an implicit that maybe you want to do it because you can show off, right? Or because we'll acknowledge it. Here we gave a justification and a new kind of justification, which is the tov be'einecha. It is good in your eyes. You like it. You like us. You love us, right? B'chol eis u'b'chol sha'a. All the time, you love us. And that's the other thing that we get out of Moses that we really are sitting with right here, which is that after we acknowledge that all the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so many of the things we're asking for all the time, often without us asking for them first, and we acknowledge that, you know what, we're the recipients, we're the children,
we also realize and appreciate, perhaps even more than we did at any other point in Shmona Esrei, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. So Shmona Esrei ends with an incredibly powerful statement, which is probably, perhaps, the goal of the whole Shmona Esrei. Hashem, you love us. It's good in your eyes to bless us all the time. And that's really the ultimate realization of Shmona Esrei. This is the peak. This is the peak. The peak is to realize that after everything we've asked for, you love us and you want to give us. And that's why we asked. And that's why we have to go through our lives wondering if we're up to the blessing. So that's Shalom Rav, right? Structure. We have the request. Part one, you can, you do this all the time, this is what you do. Part two, and you like it. Let's look back now at Sim Shalom. So, Esther already mentioned, a couple of other people also already mentioned, Sim Shalom has numerous more things in here than just peace. Right? Where's the peace? It says, Sim Shalom, give peace. Then, Tova, Uvracha, Chayin, V'chesed, Rachman.
Right? Asking him for every mercy
and
every aspect.
Peace, and then just general goodness in five different, in a whole bunch of different words. Let's say, goodness, blessing, mercy, grace. Right? So, good. Right? And then, one more request, and not only that, but caress us in the light of your countenance, in the or panim, in the sense that you're there. Because in the light of your face, you gave us all these things, right? So like a chiastic structure there, right? We start out with peace, and then in the second part of it, we end with peace. Right? And then the last part's the same. So let's see, does this structure that we had from the first part play out? I think it does. Right? First we have, right, Sim Shalom. So we have the request part, which starts with Shalom and has a whole bunch of other things. Right? And then we have, starting from Kiba or Panacha, this is what you do. Because, right? And the because, again, instead of Ki Atu Melech Adon, we have Ki, you've given us all these things. You give them to us all the time. Right? So you definitely can do it. Right? You've already done, you do it, you give it to us, this or upon them through it, you give us so many other things. And then we have the last step, V'tov b'einecha. It's good in your eyes, or it will be good in your eyes. Right? Which I would argue is a statement, like a Sefer Achot Shalom, and it's a statement that you love us and you want to. We have the same structure. But what's different about the structure? What's different about the structure is that there's a lot of else going on here. For bracha, it's all about shalom. Why are there so many brachos? Now, to answer this question, we'll begin by going back to the Gemara and asking the question, you know, getting back to that question, how did Sim Shalom get to where it was in the first place? Right? So if you look at the Gemara, the Gemara says that we are missing a piece in our discussion. You thought that the reason Sim Shalom is where it is because Sim Shalom should come after Modim. But the Gemara says that it does not come after Modim. It doesn't come after Modim. Not in a full Shmona Esrei. Why not? Look at the Gemara. So the Gemara of Megillah, which is the one we keep referencing, that talks about the order of the blessings. It says, what was the reason for inserting the priestly benediction after Thanksgiving? Because it was written, and Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people, and he came down from the offerings, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offerings, and then he blessed them, etc. He blessed them. What was their reason for having give peace after the priestly benediction, after Birchat Kohanim? Because it is written, so the priest shall put my name upon the children of Israel, that I shall bless them. And the blessing of the Holy One is peace. As it says, Hashem Yivarech Atamo Bashalom. God will bless us with peace. So really, the order is Modim, Birchas Kohanim, the priestly blessing, and then Birchas Kohanim requires
That's what comes after Moses. That requires us to say a brach of shalom. Let's understand this a little bit more. What does it mean? What does it mean? So what did the Gemara say? Again, the Gemara says that there's Birkas Kohanim, right? And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Kohanim bless us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Pasuk, Va'ani Avarechem, I will bless them, right? That tells us that, in fact, the real source of blessing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to really give us the blessing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go back and give us all the things the Kohanim gave us. And so we say, Sim Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfill your promise to give us all the things that like the Kohanim blessed us with. So.
But the blessing comes afterwards. Birchas Kohanim is after Sim Shalom.
No, Birchas Kohanim is before Sim Shalom.
In the Siddur.
Okay. So let's look at the Siddur. Just
Sim Shalom says.
Right. We always say Sim Shalom. Here. Anyone who reads the Siddur? Appreciate this. If you look in the Siddur, you will find that on times when we say Sim Shalom, right? So the Birkas Kohanim comes before Sim Shalom, right? That was the original text. In fact, that's what comes from Eliyahu Landau now in this. So Eliyahu Landau in this little Sefer Achos Shalom, and he explains that's exactly the source for the Minhag, right? Look at the Shachris. What page is it?
116.
116. Page 116. So you turn there, you'll
this
see.
This is the same as Sfardi.
Okay. Right, this is the order. The order based on the Gemara, the real order is, right?
I was thinking Modim in the previous bit.
Right, you think Modim. Modim, right. Birkas Kohanim, and then Sim Shalom. Right? So he actually explains here. Shinei Halasom, the Bracha, the Bracha Sim Shalom, Nemar Aleinu Val Kol Yisrael, but Kanu Nemar Aleinu. So there it says, in Sim Shalom it says Aleinu, he points out to something else. It says Sim Shalom Tov Racha, and asks him Aleinu, on us and on all the Jewish people. Right? In Shalom Rav, it says, Shalom Rav Al Yisrael Amcha Tasim Liola. He says, you know why? You're talking about Yom Yisrael, right? The Mamar, Sim Shalom Yuchat Al Kohanim, Hamavarchim Ha'am, Kamamar Chazav Aniyavarchim Lo Kohanim. Right? He says, Sim Shalom is really, ultimately, it's the bracha we said after Birkas Kohanim. The Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim just said this bracha, right? And so we're saying, Aleinu, specifically in reference to the bracha we just said, you know, for the people standing here in this room, fulfill that bracha. Fulfill us for ourselves, the Kohanim, who just gave the bracha, the people who are listening say Sim Shalom. And then after that, I'll call Yisrael, and also for everybody else who's there. Husha Omim Sim Shalom Aliyaval Ko Yisrael. Zelba Boker Sheesh Bo Birkas Kohanim. That's why we say it in the morning when there is Birkas Kohanim. Aval Ba'erev She'en Bo Birkas Kohanim. Meyusrat Filo Ko Yisrael Yacha. That's what we just say. Shalom Rav. Just give peace to all of us. So Sim Shalom has an additional theme, which is not just Shalom as a blessing in itself, but Shalom as the means by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give, fulfill all of the blessings that the Kohanim just said. Shalom is the capstone blessing. And if you look, remember this that Mishnah we quoted at the beginning, it makes perfect sense. Because what does the Mishnah say? L'matza kadosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha l'Yisrael ela ha-shalom. The first source, it says, the end, what was the statement about Shalom? Kadosh baruch hu found no kli for containing brachos, except Shalom. That's the kli that takes in brachos. And that's, on the first level, the suggestion that I would offer here. So what is Shalom really doing? Why is Shalom coming at the end? Shalom comes at the end because it's not just the blessing. It's the way we have blessing.
It's the way we what?
It's the way that we have blessing. We can accept blessing. We can live with blessing. Because a person can have all the bracha in their life, and if they don't have peace, they can't enjoy any of it. And so the ultimate blessing is to have peace. Because if a person has peace, then they can have all their other blessings. And if they don't have peace, they don't have any blessing. Because they're going to be too upset and too busy and too overtaken with the strife. The more that a person has strife in life, the more they cannot appreciate anything that they have. And how true it is that there are so many people out there who unfortunately have so much, but they don't have the menuchas nefesh, the inner peace, to appreciate it. Of course, we know that's the great gift of Shabbos, which is so associated with Shalom. So, and such a great gift that other people have seen on it as well. Stephen Covey, in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, his seventh habit could be called Shabbos. Right? Just because the Mormons were inspired by the Jews. They, you know, the church was inspired by the Jews. Oh yeah, you need a Sabbath. He says, why do you need a Sabbath? You need a Sabbath because if you don't take that time to take a step back and be at peace with what you have, you'll just be caught in working and working and working for it and never appreciating it. Because in peace, that moment to stop and say, I have enough. Everything's okay. My life is okay. My life is good. You don't have peace, all the blessings in the world don't come home. So that's why, that's the first reason that Shalom is at the end of Shmona Esrei. It's because Shalom is the way to cake bracha, right? Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom. God blesses us with peace, because with peace He can give us the brachos of Berakas Kohanim. And that, perhaps, already gives us one insight as to why in the Shim Shalom, the longer version, we focus on Or Panecha. Or Panecha is the ultimate vehicle to peace. How does a person achieve peace in this world? Enlightenment. That's the real enlightenment. When a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective on the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, that gives you a sense of peace. And through giving peace, we can have all the other blessings. But I think it goes further than that. I think we can take it even one step further. Take it one step further. Right now we're talking about peace as the sort of vehicle, the mechanism. I can say it's more than the mechanism. How do I know? So there's an amazing Yalkut Shimoni in Parshat Naso. On this Pasuk, right, the Yalkut Shimoni is a medieval collection by one of the Rishonim of all the Midrashim he could get his hands of. And he had more than we do. So it's really a sort of a secondary collection of lots and lots of Midrashim. And the author, Rabbi Shimon, did something very interesting on the Parsha of Birkat Kohanim. There's a whole page, I didn't bring it for you, but if you look at the Yalkut Shimoni on the Pasuk of Birkat Kohanim in Parsha Naso, right, where it ends. Ya'er Hashem, what's the last ending of Birkat Kohanim? Yisah Hashem panav elecha, v'yasein lecha shalom. Hashem should raise his, he will give you peace. Interestingly, we'll get back to this in a second, forgot to mention, but the Sim Shalom structure, where there's seven blessings, the first part, seven blessings, the second part, because in Birkas Kohanim as well, there are seven blessings. Yivarechecha Hashem, v'yishmerecha, two. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, v'yichunecha, two. Yisah Hashem panav elecha, v'yasein lecha, shalom. That's two more, that's six, that's connected to Birkas Kohanim. And there's the seventh blessing is the shalom is the one that's going to hold all of it together. So you have six blessings in Birkas Kohanim, and there's a seventh, the Ani Avarchem, that's the seventh blessing. And so connected, we have Sim, Shalom, Tova, Bracha, Chein, Vachesed, Rachmin. That's six. Kiba Or Panecha, you're the seventh one. Right? Kiba Or Panecha, Nasatilinu, Hashem, Kiba Toras, Chayim, Yavas, Chesed, Staka, Bracha, Rachmin, Vachayim, Vishalom. That time, Shalom is the seventh one. Right, because the Shalom is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us all the blessings. That's the Hashem part. So, Yalkut Shimoni, though, says, he has a list of a whole page on that blessing of Shalom of about 25 Ma'amari Chazal, 25 sayings and sages about how awesome peace is. I brought you one of them. Rabbi Yeshua Desichten B'Shem Rabbi Levi Omer. It's the source 4 on the bottom of page 1. Gadol HaShalom Shekola Brachos Chosmin b'shalom. All the brachos end in peace. Whenever we make brachos, it's always ending in the word peace. The Kriyas Shema. When we say Kriyas Shema, the brachos of Kriyas Shema, at least on Shabbos when you have the full version, HaPorei Sukkat Shalom. God who spreads the blessing of peace on us and on Yerushalayim. But tefillah, oseh ha-shalom, the tefillah ends with oseh ha-shalom. Birkat kohanim ends with shalom. Can I add a couple more? Kaddish. When we say the full Kaddish, ends with shalom. So whenever we tell with brachas, we're always ending with peace. And perhaps with this in mind, Rabbi Monk, in his commentary on the Siddur, that we refer to many times, he writes, it is significant that peace, the quest for peace, is the last of the 18. Peace, this seems to imply in source 5, the top of page 2, the second line right now. He says, peace, this seems to imply, is according to the Jewish concept, not the basis, not just the basis for our endeavors, but the ultimate aim of all of our endeavors. Peace is not just a means. Peace is the end. It is the goal. He goes on, you can read the whole paragraph here, but he goes on to make reference to Yosef Albo in his commentary Sefer Ikarim, which is one of the great works of thought by the Rishonim, and which we'll see in a second. I have the last source here. Source 7 is a whole long piece by Rabbi Yosef Albo. Rabbi Yosef Albo points you to a Gemara in Shabbos, another Gemara about peace. Yalkut Shimoni actually didn't quote this one. It's kind of interesting. And there the Gemara is talking about the important halacha of treating God's name with holiness. There's a halacha that you have to treat holy things with holiness, and part of that means that a person should not go into the restroom and say holy thing, because the restroom is a dirty place. You don't bring holy things into a restroom, therefore you shouldn't say holy things in the restroom either. Comes the Gemara and says something amazing, unusual.
Oh, but on the flip side, it's part of your body and it's necessary.
So that's true. It is part of your body and necessary, but there are certain things in this world which are necessary, which are also considered for no other reason than because that's
the
way
it's the most
everyone possible. Perceives them that way.
Right.
Right? It's a place where we put our dirt.
Yeah.
Right? Now, life has dirt. And sometimes we have dirt and we have to put dirt on the side, just like life has spiritual tumah, right? And we have to mabdul between, we have to set aside the tumah, say it has its place, and this place is not in the place of holiness, so the bathroom is regarded as a place of impurity, it's regarded as a place that's disrespectful. So you're not supposed to mention holy things there. Says the Gemara, a greeting of peace is not permissible there. She'elat shalom. Ein sham she'elat shalom. You're not supposed to say shalom to someone in the restroom or in the bathhouse. This supports the following dictum of Rabbi Hanina on Ulu's authority. A man may not extend the greeting of peace, she'elat shalom, to his neighbor in the bathhouse. Because it says, and he called it, this is a reference to the Mizbeach, in Parsha Shoftim, they built the Mizbeach, by Krolo Hashem Shalom. He called the Mizbeach, in the name of God, Hashem Shalom, God of Peace. So it says, the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me because peace is something, one of God's attributes is that he's peaceful, thus therefore we can't mention peace, say peace to someone. Now, there's a halachic discussion if that means in Hebrew or English for another time, but you can't say peace to someone in the bathroom. So I also can't say by faith. You can't say hemnusa. You can't say be'amuna. Is also, you can't say the bathroom, for it is written, el kel amuna, God's a faithful God. Answers the Gemara. Hasam. This is after the ellipses. Hasam shayim gufei lo ikri hachi de metagminon alaka mehemna. There, the name itself is not so designated. For our tradition is to translate it, God is faithful. Also, when you say akel neman, the God who is faithful, the faithful is an adjective of God. It's not God's name, it's simply a description. That's like you say God is merciful. So you can't say merciful in the bathroom, you can't say merciful in the bathroom. Why can you say merciful in the bathroom? Because God's name is not mercy. It's simply a way that God acts. But here, the name itself is designated peace. As it is written, he called it Hashem Shalom, God who is peace. Peace is God's name. God, peace.
That's an incredible statement about peace. Of all the wonderful things, that peace that we have in this world, you want to know which attribute is the one that most defines God? Peace. Another place the Mark calls it Chosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's sign. When God signs his name, he signs it with peace.
What is this? Does he talk about why we don't find that out until Shoftim?
It's a good question.
Until they don't find it out till?
Till the, somewhere in the prophet.
Well, there's a lot of things that we find, we don't find. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things about God that aren't explicit in the Torah. It's not, right? Well, maybe we found it out. Maybe really we found it out. Maybe there's already a hint to it in Berachas Kohanim. But you have to know.
But we're equating it with Hashem.
Right.
We wouldn't say Hashem's name in that mouth. I mean, that's my interpretation.
Right.
Since we're equating peace with Hashem, so we're not going to say this.
Right. It's really quite a level of statement about peace. It's just to sum up, and I'll just read the first line. I gave the whole thing to you for, you know, like, take-home reading, something to read over Pesach, or read next week when we're not meeting, because for any of us who isn't too busy next Sunday morning. So you can see, it's not short. It's a long chapter, right? Plenty to read. So this chapter, Yosef Albo explained something very, very important. He says, I want to tell you something. Now, if I know I wanted to describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so there's not too much I can describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu as, except that Kodesh Baruch Hu is good. The Rambam writes one place, whatever is good, right, that's a good description of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whatever is not good, it's not a good description. But how do you define good? So he says, Hatova Gamor, ultimate good, Hu Asher Lo Yishtane, V'lo Yikabel Chisarim, V'lo Tosefes. Good, real good is when something is perfect. When something doesn't need anything and something is not missing anything. And therefore does not need to change or will not change. Shemhaya mishtane, im shiyishtane l'ra la'tov. It can change, whether it changes for good or bad, mishtane l'ra, eno tov gama. If it changes for bad, it means it wasn't perfect because it was able to lose itself. And if it was perfectly good, if you mishtane l'gov, it can get better, that also means it's not perfect yet because it wasn't perfect yet. It got better. So something which is totally perfect, does not need to change. Because you know what we call total perfection in this world? You know you measure total perfection? So he goes and says, peace is how you measure total perfection. What is the measure of peace? Peace is when I'm able to take all the pieces and make them fit together. Just imagine a giant jigsaw puzzle. Right? You have 1,000 pieces. So what's the goal of the jigsaw puzzle? How do you know when you're done?
You don't have any pieces left.
Everything is a piece.
You put all the pieces in the right place. That's always the annoying thing about puzzles, because like once you get to the end, once you did that, there's nothing else. You leave it. Right? Now you hang it up on a wall, makes a nice picture, but you don't have to touch it anymore. It can stay that way forever. Why? Because all the pieces fit. There's no more conflict. And once there's no more conflict, once everything fits, then you say, oh, now I got it. Now I know this is a work of art. This is a picture. And that's the ultimate shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when God's name is in the world. God's name is in the world when the world fits. When it comes together. When it makes sense. And that is peace. So that's our ultimate prayer. Says Rabbi Yossi Babel, that is the most spiritual thing. The most spiritual thing you can have in this world, the thing that connects the world to spirituality is when the world is at peace, when the pieces fit together, you have the whole picture, and then you get the whole that's bigger than some of its parts. He says, you know what the ultimate shalom is? The ultimate shalom is when we're able to make peace between up there and down here. When we resolve the base, most basic conflict in all of creation, the conflict between the physical and the spiritual, which is defined by Or Panecha, by revealing when God's world, life, is revealed in this world. That's the ultimate peace. But for that peace to happen, first we have to have peace in this world, in itself. When the pieces come together in this world,
and they function properly as one unified whole, then they can make peace with the design that's up there. And those pieces come together. And then we have shalom. And that's the ultimate goal. And so that's why we end everything we do with the prayer of Hashem Yivarech et Amo Bashalom. May God bless us with peace. So hopefully we should have a wonderful, peaceful holiday. It's auspicious to end this way in the month of Nisan. Just bless Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Shabbos, B'Nisan, Nigalin, B'Nisan, Asidin Ligal. We went out, we were redeemed in Nisan, and we should redeem the ultimate peace speedily this Nisan. And hopefully all be celebrating this Passover together in Jerusalem. Chag Kosher v'Sameach. We'll resume after Passover.
Very nice ending.